Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. Did y'all watch the All-Star game last night?
Oh, I saw it. My kids are locked in, so... Yeah. Saw three-point shootout, saw dunk contest.
Yeah,
I saw a lot. Yeah. I saw a decent amount of the game.
Yeah, I did too. I was watching. I had it on.
Did anything strike you about it? It just anything in general when you were watching? Did you have a thought that came out? Because I did.
No.
So you know, the conversation about
that LeBron picked a lot better than.
Well, yeah, my kid. Oh, don't worry. My kids told me that as soon as they. Mm-mm. Did you see how awful Durant's team is?
Well, he took Kyrie and James as soon as the reserves came, so he had to do that. But it wasn't even close. Those two sides weren't even close.
It was a butt kicking from the beginning. But what stood out to me is there's a lot of conversations and arguments about. Eras, especially as it pertains to Jordan and LeBron, and I mean I've watched both of them. To me, it's I don't want to say it's not close, but it's clearly Jordan. If you've seen both of them in their prime, you'll have some people who say LeBron, but I just in terms of winning game, people will try to say this stat or that stat. Bottom line is LeBron's playing in an era right now where teams are hitting 240 points, the combined point total. Teams are scoring 120 on a regular basis. Jordan was scoring in the 90s, low 100s. It's a different era for statistics. The same way, look at Dak Prescott's passing yards or anyone's passing yards for that matter. Kirk Cousins, it doesn't matter. And then when you try to compare him to a quarterback in the 80s or 90s, it's a totally different game. You're going to have more stats. That's the way it is. But the one thing that I think is true is – A, the game is a more athletic game now than it was before. It's hard not to acknowledge that. There's longer players. They're more athletic. They play multiple positions. They're more hybrid. I mean, they come out of the womb handling a ball and shooting from distance. That's just how it is. I think Kevin Garnett's the guy that changed that. But the thing that really strikes me is that this is an era where guys just shoot the ball really well. I mean, relative to past eras, if you go back and look when the three-point line first came in, and you can look for the first several years, they barely shot threes ever. Yeah. They thought, this is a terrible shot. Why would I shoot this shot? So guys wouldn't shoot the three. Now, if they had shot the three a bunch, if that was their game, then everyone would have acclimated, and that's what their game would have been. Michael Jordan would have been shooting. I don't know that he would have had the same crazy finishes. Because he would have been shooting a ton of threes because that's the way the game is played now. But watching guys shoot, it is ridiculous how many players make threes now and can make them easily and shoot from distance. There were three half-court shots made in the game yesterday.
And it was
and two of them were Dame Lillard. And Dame does this in games, too.
And Steph, it's so effortless.
Dame shot a jump shot. Like, jumped and shot from just inside a half-court. He didn't have to heave it. It was like, that's a regular shot. It looks like a shot.
Yeah, right.
So I think the distance that guys shoot with now, I think the accuracy relative. I mean, Zach LaVine, you're talking about a guy who is a dunk king who's shooting 43% from three. That's pretty much just not a thing that ever happened in the past.
Yeah.
So I will say, this generation, because they've come up shooting a ton of threes, my son's little basketball team, Mason and Snacks are 7th and 8th graders. Ton of threes are shot and made in those games. A ton. I mean, it's just amazing to watch. Just little kids will have 4 or 5 threes in a game. No big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah.
You watched it probably a lot closer than I did. I was enthralled by Steph. I mean, I'll tell you this, Mike Conley gave a good match in the three-point shootout, but Steph... And Steph was cold in the final round and early on. Yeah. And then he is so silky
top
smooth.
Of the rack.
That's the best shooter in NBA history.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe Steph is the best shooter in NBA history. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. I can't. I, who's second? Del Curry? I don't know. I don't know.
Second is probably Ray Allen.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Ray Allen.
Yeah.
And then Klay Thompson's up there too in the top five for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Klay's a hell of a shooter.
Yep. To me, if my life is on the line, I want Steph with the ball. Larry Bird was a great outside shooter as well. I mean, it was just a ridiculous shooter too. But that, and then the dunk contest is, I don't know. Has it played out?
Well, it has for a year, because there's so much, it's so hard to come up with other things to do. Like, they make it look so easy. This year, pulling a basketball off the top of the square was one thing. It was drilled. They had something like suction cups. Yeah. They put a ball that was on like a Nerf goal or something. There's the one that won was a kiss the rim dunk where the guy jumped up and literally
he didn't kiss the rim though.
No, because he had broken his teeth out.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know. I mean, it was some pretty good dunks.
Win or don't you want to win?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's your choice.
He's still won anyway,
where Toppin bounced the ball between his legs, jumped up, caught it in midair and dunked it. Like, it was just hard to watch with Kenny so upset that the guy that he picked wasn't getting the best scores, and he's calling everyone haters, and he can't even hardly comment on the whole dunk contest because he's so upset that Cassius Stanley is not winning, and he thought his grades were too low, which they were. But the dunk contest, there was an Atlanta flavor to the dunk contest judges. There was, and they had Kenny called the Dwayne Wade rule, right, where at the end you don't have scores. You just put think won.
Right, right.
Well, anyway, you had Spud Webb was there, dunk contest champ. You had Dominique Wilkins, two-time champ. Jason Richardson, which I don't know if he's from Atlanta, Michigan State, but he was there as a judge. You had, what's on the right hand side? Oh, Josh Smith was there from Atlanta and also played with the Hawks. And the back right was
D.
Brown. D. Brown. So those were the five judges. I don't know if D. Brown has a Georgia connection, but the first three did. Dominique Wilkins, and the game itself was, I don't know. It's just it's an exhibition. Somebody said, is there more useless games? Yeah, the Pro Bowl is substantially more useless.
Oh, yeah.
Pro Bowl is a joke.
Well, the best All-Star game is the baseball All-Star game.
Yeah.
But the Pro Bowl.
If basketball played it more competitively, because in the last few years, it gets competitive in the fourth quarter, but there was no like in this one, it was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Because they were getting pummeled. But in the in basketball, when they compete in the fourth quarter, it's a fun game. You're talking about the best players in the world going up against each other, and unfortunately, it's just a pickup game for most of the time, but when they really get after it, occasionally in the fourth quarter, it turns into a fun game to watch. And the dynamics of who the alphas are in the court is kind of interesting to watch too.
Yeah. It's all right. It is. It's something to watch. We got some time off now before the Rockets start back up in their quest for greatness, and we'll see what happens. They brought up Kevin Porter Jr. He's coming up. It looks like Victor Oladipo has a real shot at getting traded, which would be
nice.
I'm kind of torn on that one.
Oh, because you can lose with Victor.
We've seen you can lose with Victor Oladipo. I'm not sure that I want to do that. But the more G leaguers you bring up, I think the better. So
ultimately, I think it's harder to win with a G leaguer than Victor Oladipo.
Which
is a ringing endorsement for that contract offer that you gave him.
Well, $45 million, and he said no. He said no, which is thank you, Victor Oladipo, and your agent, for being so savvy in the market. I wonder, is Victor Oladipo getting well more than $22.5 million a year? Is Victor Oladipo going to sign a longer-term deal for $25 to $30 million a year?
I don't think so. I think he may get a three-year offer at about 22, something like that. And even that, to me, is like, you're just signing mediocrity.
Yeah.
You're just signing just a pretty good player. A guy who will fill up a stat sheet but won't really have an impact on winning. Anybody can put up, especially in this era, we just talked about it, with a ton of possessions and three-point shots. Getting 19-5-4, that's not crazy.
No.
19-6-5, It's not like, what is it? What difference has that made with the Rockets?
No, zero.
None.
Zero. How much of Bryson DeChambeau's win did you watch yesterday?
That's one that I recorded. Oh, you just ruined it.
I ruined it.
I recorded the final round.
All over the interweb. Who won the game?
I don't. I have I had filtered tournament. Out the golf stuff so I wouldn't see it, so that I could watch it like I was like it was live.
No. Oh well, Dell. How much of did you watch Bryson DeChambeau? Bryson DeChambeau. Okay, 11 under, beats Lee Westwood by 1 to win the Arnold Palmer. Oh, it's not important enough? It's Arnold Palmer? Okay, thanks. All right, the huge tournament, the Players this week. Are you guys excited? How excited are you for the Players?
I love Arnold Palmer's, the drink I order every time from Chick-fil-A.
No, I know you do. I know you do. See?
Oh, they have that at Chick-fil-A.
Well,
oh,
half lemonade, half sweet tea. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so you should maybe pay a little homage. And
I
watch
pay
the
homage.
Tournament.
I think of Arnold every time I order the drink. I go, this is for Arnie. And I point up at the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I honor him.
Arnie.
This is for you, man.
To you, baby.
That's how I honor him, by ordering that drink. I don't have to watch his tournament.
You guys are the worst. My fantasy league starts this week, so.
In golf.
Golf fantasy league.
That seems entertaining.
Yeah. No. It doesn't get any better than golf fantasy. Okay. So
not any better, huh?
No, it does not get any better than golf fantasy. All right. Anybody want in? Let me know. If you want to get into the show, 713-780-3776. Dell has some revelations about a college football team.
I don't have them. The guy who's outing them. Yeah, don't put it on. I don't want Georgia fans coming after me.
Well, no, but you found this. I hadn't seen this.
Yeah, it's I don't know if a lot of the internet has found it, but it's interesting, and it just confirms what many people think anyway.
Wait a minute. If you found it, then other people are going
to
find it,
No,
too.
I'm just saying it's not widely spread across all the aggregate sites that we normally go to find stories. I found it on a college football message board.
Do people want this to be out and not want this to be out?
Depends. Well, sure. People who are rivals of that team sure do.
Yeah. In general?
No, because your school is probably doing the same thing.
I don't think most average fans, maybe they don't care. I don't know.
They care.
It used to be a big deal to hear about this. I don't think it's a big deal anymore that a player's getting paid.
No, they care if it directly affects their opponent or their rival. They would love, people in that conference would love if this took down this team. Yeah, they care, but they don't want it coming back on them.
Oh, no. Well, let's play it. Can you play it on the other side?
Yes.
All right, we'll play it on the other side. Something that, well, it's kind of really revealing. We'll talk about it after. Right now, though, let's talk about Custom Patios.
Texas Custom Patios, so happy to speak for them. Steven Shell, I've known him for years. We used to play pickup basketball at the Y years ago. And I recognized him whenever I met him for the first time about patio stuff. I was like, man, I know this guy. And then I figured it out. But he's someone who is, this is why I really like him. My wife loved what he does, which she's really uptight about a lot of different stuff. About the work area being clean, about time frame, things like that. So are they. So is he. He wants the work area is clean while they're working on it. Their time frame is exactly what it's supposed to be. They never go over budget. If it ever costs them more, they don't pass it on to you. They eat the cost and fix whatever they need to fix. But I'm telling you now, the work that they have is phenomenal. Go look at their before and afters at TexasCustomPatios.com, and you'll see what it looks like to take your home in the backyard and transform it into something that is incredible, a place that you would love to have friends come over, a place that you would love to spend your time outside. TexasCustomPatios.com has been doing it for years, and they can do it for you. TexasCustomPatios.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:16 on ESPN 97.5. So, who is this guy? I never watched the show that you asked about.
If you remember the show Two-a-days from the early to mid 2000s MTV. It was a show about a high school football team, a reality show. The head coach was Russ Probst there in Hoover, Alabama. That was a really dominant team during his time there, may still be. But he became internet famous, and it got to his head. He had some issues off the field.
Now, kind of like the OC of high school, the OC of high school football at that time, kind of.
Yeah,
the
it
same
was
trajectory
because OC was on. Not the Laguna Beach was on MTV at the time, Laguna whatever Beach, it's called. Yeah. So yeah, they're really getting into the high school world of reality television. This was one of the shows that prospered for a couple of years, and he was a head coach, the boisterous, big personality guy. Eventually, had to move on because of issues, wound up in Georgia coaching high school football. He coaches now at Valdosta, which is one of the major programs in the state. And this is him talking to, I don't know who he said the TD Club president. I don't know who M. Nelson is, but that's allegedly the guy he's talking to. But he goes on to talk about what happens at Georgia and probably what happens at a lot of other schools too.
Do you know what Kirby's doing at Georgia right now? Do you know why he's taking that program to where he is?
I think because he's a good recruiter.
He is, but why do you think he's getting these kids and keeping kids in and all that stuff?
Taking care of them.
So he's got a guy named Hugh Nall, who lives in Albany. Hugh is the guy that sort of handles things, okay? He's the handler, okay? So Kirby's come down and met with the richest of the rich of Southwest Georgia. Not Southeast, not Macon, Southwest where he's from. Mm-hmm. He got the richest guy in Bainbridge. He got the two richest guys in Caldwell. He's got the rich guy over here in Valdosta. Anybody's in Georgia.
I wonder who he's got in Valdosta.
Multi-millionaires. Now listen, do you know how much money they spend on a player when they get money? $100,000 to $150,000 to sign. Like Chubbs. When Chubbs came back and Chubbs didn't go to the NFL draft, Mark Motley, it was $360,000 donations given to Chubbs to stay in school. It was $180,000.
So for those of you who couldn't understand, some of it, it was hard to understand. So Nick Chubb, to stay in school, they gave him how much? $180,000?
$360,000 payments,
$180,000.
Does this kind of invalidate the argument about the players who are, it's kind of an image thing, right? NIL is based on, this is a way for players to get paid, the best players. The reality is the best players are getting
paid. Yeah, the best players have always been
paid. So isn't the system working the way people want it to?
Yeah, what, except it's illegal. It's scummy. It's underneath the table.
But why do people care?
Well, I mean,
I don't think the general public cares. I think the general public thinks everyone. There was just an article out about how food insecurity is almost killing college players, that they're all starving to death.
And yeah, they're not really starving to death.
Because they can't find food.
Yeah.
And I was reading this. I'm like, oh, my God, this is. Like, it's well intentioned. I just don't think there's a lot of behind the scenes knowledge.
My son played at Rice and Missouri State, two of the least paying schools in the country.
Yeah,
and he was just fine with his stipend. I mean, eight and eight.
And training day.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's. I think people are well intentioned. I just don't think they actually know what's going on. Like, the NIL argument is like, these kids are. They can't even get money. There was a time where I think people couldn't afford to. I can't take a girlfriend to a movie.
No, there was a time. Without the stipend, stipend, it helps dramatically. And if
tell people what the stipend is, because a lot of people don't know about this.
You get monthly. You get a monthly stipend to live on. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
My parents would give me $100. That would be gone in 4 days.
Well, you had the food plan at Tulane.
Yeah, I had the food plan.
You were on the food plan.
Well, it covered me.
And they're on the food plan.
Two meals a day, 5 days a week.
There are a lot of times, though, that you won't have training table. You won't have the athletes. But then they give you money to go eat. They give you money.
The stipend is more than people think.
It is. Now, as far as the image, listen, it's going to be the Wild West once this NIL opens up. It's going to be the Wild West because it's going to be, we've got boosters that are going to pay you. Now it's going to be above board, though.
Well,
and and what they're doing, what I thought would have happened, which is what the NCAA does, is they limit your ability to make money. I got a buddy that hires college kids, and boy, if he pays them one penny over what he pays anybody in his warehouse or that works for him in any other shape or form, he is going. They're going to catch it. There's going to be NCAA sanctions.
Well, that's what they should be, though, because you're. That's not fair to the people who work.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. So, but each state is adopting rules where the NCAA has no say about how much these kids can make. And when that happens, now it is going to be, you know, whatever, you know, whomever it is going to do a commercial for a car dealer, and boy, he is going to get paid now. And when you go to visit these schools, it is going to be, there is going to be, it's not like it's not already. I mean, Rice ain't getting the same kids as Alabama because Alabama is paying, Georgia's paying, LSU's paying, they're paying top dollar for these kids. Not that anybody would go to Rice instead of those places anyway, but look, if you're thinking about your academic future, if you're into academics, Rice is a much better option than those places, but they're just not going to get them. It's just, it's, listen, it makes sense. It's not going to change anything. The biggest schools, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, Florida State, I don't know about Miami. I don't know how they're going to, they'll probably pay. They're going to pay. They're going to pay their guys. It's just, it's going to be now, it's going to be open to the public as opposed to this stuff behind the scenes. That's all. The same people are going to be paying these same kids, but it is going to be, I think it's actually going to help. There's still going to be the stipends for the kids that the university is going to have to give them, but I do think it's going to help Connecticut women's basketball players or wrestlers at Oklahoma State or Iowa State where it's big. It's going to help them more in that they might be able to get advertisers to actually do something with them.
And will it allow kids who have developed YouTube channels to actually start making revenue off those channels?
Yes. But actually, that's what it was initially. Like, the initial push is because of that. What they're going to use it for is just a loophole.
No, the initial push was because the punter, Marcus Dupree is standing there looking at all those 22s in the stands, and he gets it, doesn't get a dime out of it.
The initial push of this came from what really started this was the punt of the people who have, what Dell's talking about is you weren't able to monetize something non-football related. That became like a big story that kind of started, that ignited, we've been talking about that. The other thing, you know, Vince Young jerseys, all
right.
There's been that talk forever, and that's never, you know, it was never.
I don't
change.
Know. That's more the ignition
especially
to me
because you can change. But and that's a true name, image, license. That argument also came up because Ed O'Bannon, obviously, Charles O'Bannon, with the college basketball game that was out there that they weren't getting paid for. That was the original. That was the original breaking point, and that was in the mid '90s.
Right.
But what reignited it was. Hey, wait a minute. This football player, this punter or whatever is going to, it makes more sense for him to quit college where he has a scholarship because he's got a chance to, you know, that's what reignited this. Well, now it's just going to be used as, it's really just a loophole to pay players.
That's all.
Is what it's going to be. You talk about Wild West. Yeah, it's going to be Wild
West.
Well,
it's the Wild West now.
Players are getting paid a substantial amount, and they have been for a long time.
Your head is in the sand if you think that all these big schools aren't. They've got a system, and they're paying these players and been paying these players, and the reason they're so good is because they're paying top dollar. I mean, the bidding war. I'm telling you, I've heard stories behind the scenes of the coaches – that are like, oh man, yeah, I lost that guy. I lost that quarterback.
Isn't
yeah.
that the same as the concept of NIL?
You should have seen he was getting offered $250,000. Here he's getting offered $300,000.
This is my point though. It's the same as NIL. The top guys who are most valuable get paid.
Are gonna get paid. But the little guy can get paid too here. The little guy's able to get paid. Not in theory. Websites. Or if you have an ability to make,
but that's not, that's a small percent that are gonna be able to monetize websites.
I think we underestimate the college experience in terms of campuses and folk heroes. Like if you become a folk, a folk hero in your surrounding area, you're not going
to
get
true, but there has to be revenue. One thing I've learned about monetizing is to monetize something, you've got to still have somebody who will pay you.
I'll give you an example. There was a walk-on for Miami. His name is Jimmy Murphy. He became prominent on special teams because he made a couple plays, ran down there, made a couple tackles. He was never getting paid by the big guns to come to Miami as a walk-on. He was never going to get paid to stay for a senior year. But you know what? Jimmy Murphy, because he was hitting people on kickoffs, some Miami-based or company or somebody who's affiliated with the university goes, you know what? I can monetize Jimmy Murphy. People might want to see Jimmy Murphy. That type of thing. That's when the little guy, if you want to call him that, may be able to make some money off doing something random.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a very small percentage.
But yeah, it gives them the opportunity.
Well, listen. If you come, who was it? Chase Winovich. Who was the
one with the long hair?
That played linebacker at Michigan and.
I think, was it Winovich? Now, he went on to be a pro.
Who was the guy that had all the personality?
I think it was Winovich.
Winovich. He had all that personality. He wouldn't get paid top dollars by the guys that recruited him there. But when he was there and he started and he became a personality, I'm positive that people would glob on. I want that kid to do something for
him. All I'm saying is, relative to the roster, it's still going to be a very small percentage of those guys. That's a Chase Winovich. More, and it's still a college town. More than anything, it's going to be stuff like a college football, video game, which is going to allow some money to be spread amongst everybody who plays college football. And maybe.
Which is coming back, by the way.
When they get it. Yeah, but not for two more years. Let's break it here. When we come back, we got three of you who want to jump on. If you guys want to jump in about this conversation as well, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If not, somebody could get sued here.
Let's talk a little MMA right now. Oh, I'm talking about the MMA law firm. You thought I was talking about MMA. No, it's McClenny, Mosley, and Associates, and those are the people that are helping you with these. Listen, there are all kind of, you might have a claim out there right now. If you've got a claim out there right now because of the Arctic blast and the pipes bursting and your home being ruined or your business being ruined and you're trying to deal with an insurance company that is shorting you, and you got the claim, you got the policy, and you're getting screwed by the insurance company because guess what? That's what insurance companies do. Well, guess what? You got these guys, McClenny, Mosley, and Associates, the large loss attorneys on your side. LargeLossAttorneys.com. They can advise you on the best course of action. They can fight for proper compensation so you get back what you deserve. They will review your insurance policy and claim absolutely free. So all you got to do, go to largelossattorneys.com and don't try to fight them yourself because you ain't going to win. They're scared of these guys. They ain't scared of you. Largelossattorneys.com. That's largelossattorneys.com.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 731 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. This sparked some calls. We were talking in the last segment, for those of you just joining us, about athletes getting paid, apparently, a coach. Now, where is he, Dell? He was just Valdosta, on that show? He's at Valdosta State?
No, he's at Valdosta High School.
Oh, Valdosta High School.
Yeah.
He's at Valdosta High School, and he outlined how Kirby Smart takes care of his players, keeps players there, pays players illegally. Kirby Smart ain't I don't believe he'll be recruiting at Valdosta.
Or maybe that guy gets run out of Valdosta.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Messing up the state.
That's it. That's in Georgia. And you just messed up our football, our college football.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been the undertone when Kirby took over is like Georgia is now all in on football, which you're like, wait a minute, Georgia has always loved football. The all in was the part that no one wanted to really explain. It's like,
I mean, Georgia's paying now.
Yeah, Georgia got Kirby got some guarantees that when he moved over from Bama that we're going to do things like Bama does, right?
Right.
Mark Richt was kind of shaky on that stuff. He wasn't really – look, they did it there when he was there, but he wasn't all in like Kirby is when it comes
Kirby's
to that stuff.
No, Kirby's all in. We're doing it like Nick.
Yeah. If we want to win, we got to do it like Nick.
Right. All right, let's get some calls in here. Jeff is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. So on the whole paying athletes, I've always been for it. You know, that's just how I feel about it. But the reason the big dogs don't want this to be, you know, above board is because Alabama doesn't want Vanderbilt to suddenly be national title contenders. They don't want Harvard in basketball to finally run over everybody because they got an $8 billion endowment. You know, a lot of people don't realize these big schools don't have the most money a lot of times. Like, there's really wealthy donors all over America.
Okay, Jeff, this is the misconception. The schools are not going to be paying.
Not a penny.
It's not about how much money a school has. It's about donors. It's about advertising. About boosters. It's nothing to do with Harvard's endowment.
I know. What I'm saying, though, is Harvard has that big endowment from donors, right? So the big, these
well,
really
that belongs
smart
to the
schools
school.
Like Vanderbilt have wealthier donors. Those donors can be boosters and pay athletes much more money than whatever Alabama boosters could offer, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it would actually create much more parity. Tulane could actually compete
with Duke
on basketball.
Jeff, you're off on this.
Mega boosters at every school.
There's no, and they don't care about football nearly as much as they do at Alabama.
Yeah, I think that's
Georgia.
The thing, Jeff.
That's the thing, Jeff.
They would have to care.
You gotta pay a lot of guys to get there.
They don't go now. They're not going to, now all of a sudden, they're going to all of a sudden be paying all these players because they care about the landscape of college football is not changing.
No, because
the big dogs are still going to eat like the big dogs.
Harvard's not that they compete on the football level, but even in basketball, they're not going to care. That's not what the Harvard experience is. So no. They're not going to get into that type of ball game.
The Rice basketball program begged for Bobby Tudor had to step up and say, the school won't even give them a new look. How many stress fractures and foot injuries Rice has had over the years. So a former baseball player, Bobby Tudor, he stepped up and most of the money.
And then
he just said, I'm just doing this. I mean, they couldn't even get
Rice
the school
isn't
to
care
that.
About it. Not tomorrow. No. Just because all of a sudden they've got some rich donors.
I mean, they've got Tulane people who want the program to be
but not
good,
like Alabama.
But not like that. And then you have to get a bunch of those guys too.
No.
So no, that's not gonna be the case. That's not how it's gonna work, like Vanderbilt can finally start smashing people.
No. Anthony is here. What's going on, Anthony?
Yeah, my question for you guys is what's it gonna be like when these athletes are getting paid and they're used to being the whole prima donna and now all of a sudden that they're coming into public ridicule because, oh, well, they're paying him all this money from boosters, even though it's not for football-related stuff, going to react to the public opinion.
Well, why do you think there's going to be a negative public opinion about it?
Like, I mean, if they don't play well? If we know publicly that this guy got from a dealership and he stunk on Saturday, is that what he means?
Well, listen, we know that the guy's getting paid now and he's stinking or playing well.
Here's what I think. This is my concern. I think this is not meant for people, this to turn into a big drip and all that stuff. This is meant to take care because people are starving to death and things like that. So they got to. That food insecurity article just blew my mind.
Let's say, I don't think
the number should be. I think the NCAA should have full disclosure.
Well, they don't want any part of it.
Every agreement.
Well, you know who else is going to have full disclosure? The IRS.
Kids are going to have.
Now the kids are going to have to pay taxes.
The NCAA. I'm here talking to Foxy, saying he goes, do you know how many tax problems there's going to be for these kids?
Yep.
Who run into because the IRS?
They're going to.
They don't hold up on this
now.
At
all of a sudden, it's out there. It's actually in the public. You have to disclose how much you're paying these kids. And they're going to have to pay taxes on it.
Oh, no, they would much rather have it under
the table.
Listen,
this is a worse deal for a lot of the big-time players because they were getting all that money that they didn't have to pay taxes on.
No, they'll keep getting it under the table.
They'll get that still to go to the school initially.
We'll see. We'll see because I can do it out in the open now.
The NCAA ain't giving you $60,000. No one in college is giving you $60,000 a year for, like, the Nick Chubb money. That's not happening.
Well, yeah, it is. For a guy that endorses his business? Yes, he will.
Under the table.
Yeah, no.
We'll see if they limit the amount because
they can't. Again, I told you, This is part of the states are putting in there. The NCAA cannot control how much money the kids make.
We'll see how this
They punted. Works. The NCAA has punted on the ruling. They could have put a rule in place themselves, but then they saw that. Remember, we talked about how when the Democrats want to sit in the House, Senate and House, they saw the Democrats would be more friendly to this process. So they said, you know what? We don't. The Republicans kind of protected us on this. We're not going to. We
on
don't.
On the federal level.
Yeah, so they decided to, hey, we're punting, let a federal law come into place. I think the one thing that will continue is kids get paid to visit schools before they even sign.
Oh, they do?
Yes. The kids will get paid by the school to visit. Hey, just come and see what it's like. Those payments aren't stopping. Nothing above board is going to keep the high school kid from Florida from making a trip to Georgia and getting paid for it.
Yeah.
That's going to continue.
I legit don't think people realize how much money is in college. Like, if you're a good college basketball player, you're for sure getting money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're a really good one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone, but I'm saying the best ones are all
No, people getting don't paid. Get how much these kids are. I mean.
Well, that's what drives me crazy is this fake narrative that nobody. I think there are a lot of players who don't get paid and who, you know, live a college life like.
Yeah,
really. All of us lived
on the vast majority don't get paid.
Yeah, right, right. No, I think that's definitely true, and I don't think the NIL stuff is going to matter to a vast majority. A vast majority are still not going to make any money unless you got some special TikTok gift or whatever. But I think that maybe, you know, licensing agreements with jerseys. It's going to be licensing agreements that give these kids a chance to make money, and I think it's still going to be relatively. When you have to spread it out over everybody, it's still, and maybe even into potentially other Title IX, into other sports, it's not going to be the money that a lot of people think. So that's why I think
it's going to be
under the table
but
payments.
Again, I think it's going to be crazy money for the best players, and it's going to outrage people.
Let me say, well, now it's going to show the truth. Now the disparity is on the table.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to get mad about the haves and have nots,
you will.
You'll be able to see.
You'll see it.
And it'll be interesting to see if people come after those players because, the players are just the players. I don't know what they have anything to do with it. But here's what I think is going to be interesting. If I'm a player and a team says, we'll give you $60,000 a year to be our official truck salesman or whatever. Oh, okay. And then you get taxed on that. And another school says, we'll give you $60,000 under the table.
You don't get
taxed. Where are you going?
Tax free.
Well, or you.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think this is all going to keep going.
Or you act like a pro player and go, yeah, there's no state tax in Florida and Texas. I'm going to go there.
That's right. We could benefit.
There's a lot
here.
Of things to we could benefit think about.
Here. Gary is here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Gary.
Hey, I just want to say I've never been the fourth players getting paid. I think it's a lot to do about nothing when you hear about the Johnny Manziels or whoever else. It's probably 99% of college students stand to make zero money from
a
name.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we focus on Alabama and Ohio State, but I mean, even in the Power Five, who had Wake Forest get paid? Not to talk about what used to be Division II schools. So I'm not mad I'm getting paid. And of course, like Lance was saying, these kids that's a complete crock. I know a guy who goes to LSU. These dudes drive Mustangs, and they eat better than probably all of us eat. I mean, I don't know where the narrative started, but to me, it's just making a major change for no reason. 99% of these guys are happy with the scholarship, as we would have been, and I just really don't get it. So that's my opinion.
That's what I've come to realize over the last several years is that I think the system is working the same way that people claim they want, like the NIL is supposed to be, look, if you can get your NIL means name, image, likeness. If you can, you know, if you're a popular player, a player who people, Johnny Manziel, to go sign cards somewhere or to somebody, you know, have their jersey sales, that's what that's supposed to be. But those very best players typically are right now are getting money and way better money than you thought. When I heard some of the quarterback money that was out there over the last two or three years from someone in the know, I was blown. I had no idea that the money was that high. I had no idea that the money was that high. I think that the there's 4-star guys who don't get paid. There's 3-star guys that you're not getting paid. I'd never heard this, Dell, the get paid to take a visit. I'd never heard that before. I guess it doesn't surprise me, but I do think it's kind of the system's kind of working as a capitalist system right now, only, you know, below the grid. And this is just going to make people happy who love to talk about it who aren't in the sports world. I know a basketball coach told me, this is not great for the players. Because now the players, everything, their own business is going to get put out there. They'd much rather, instead of, well, his point was, if players ever got paid by schools or the NCAA, they would hate it because it would be substantially less than they make right now. And now that there's a new basketball league that's going to be paying $100,000 for you to play in high school, I think people will play that and then go straight to the pros. I don't think you're going to see, if kids can start earning money at the age of 16 and bypass college completely, well, I think college is going to get bypassed by a lot of basketball players.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see about that, whether or not. Yeah.
Why would they? I mean, unless you look. Well, the reality
unless
is.
Unless they get paid.
Here's what I say. If everything is about the bag now, it's unfortunate because the experience a lot of players are going to have in college, and you've heard this college player say it. You are literally, it's before all the pressure mounts. It's before you still get to be a kid. You get to be in college. You get to have the camaraderie with people that are your age. There's a lot of benefits from a personal standpoint of going to college, even if you don't get your degree. I think a lot of guys, from a social interaction and growth standpoint and seeing people different than you that you get to interact with, I think it's a huge advantage for a lot of guys. I think it keeps you in a bubble. If all it is about making money and you start making money at 16, 17, 18, and you go straight to the pros, in a way you're in a bubble that you're not going to find anybody outside of your bubble. You'll just be in a little contained basketball bubble. And then when you're done playing basketball, you'll be like, the real world's going to be kind of a shock to you because you don't know people different than you. And you may not be ready at all. That's whatever.
All right. General Supercenter, that's kind of important, isn't it?
Generator Supercenter is extremely important. Now, just because we're 3 weeks out of the giant freeze and now you're forgetting about this, and at the time you're hitting my DMs like, what's the generator place? What's the generator place? And I told you, it's Generator Supercenter. They're the ones who are the number one sales for the Generac automatic standby generator. And what that generator does is when your electricity goes off, Generac will come on, and you will not lose your power. You won't lose it at all. You'll keep the power. Now, there's different types. One will power just the essentials. One, the bigger one, will do everything. Like, you won't lose your power at all. But just knowing that you have the peace of mind that your air conditioner will stay on or your heater will be there and stay on, isn't that a huge deal? Isn't that big for you and for your family? They have financing is available. Low monthly payments are available. They'll give you a free estimate. And you can get that installation done yourself. Generac automatic standby generator. Make sure you go to GeneratorSupercenter.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 746, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here. Carson, Oprah did not interview Carson Wentz, okay? That is Harry or somebody. One of the royal, Harry what?
That's Harry.
Tudor, right? Whatever he is. What's his name?
Windsor?
My wife was in there watching it like it was important. I've never understood the fascination fascination with
the British. It's not only American.
Our
it's
former
worldwide.
Colonizers. Yeah. Not kind of. Well, like they tried to be.
No, they were colonies.
They were. No, they.
Yeah, but we whipped their ass with the. We threw the tea and everything.
Yeah.
Threw tea at them, I think.
She wasn't interviewing Carson Wentz.
Was that a big deal in your household?
What?
Wendy had to be on it.
No, we didn't watch it. No.
Wendy wasn't watching that?
No.
She'll watch The Bachelor, but she won't watch royal stuff?
No, she does. We were watching, we were watching other royal stuff. We were watching Outlander.
Oh, okay. You're watching the show. My wife was watching it, and she was hitting me with all the color stuff, the baby. It says here, Ed O'Keefe says, Oprah says Prince Harry asked her to convey that neither his grandmother or grandfather, Queen Elizabeth or Prince Philip, were the ones who raised questions or concerns about the skin color of their future son, Archie. But he didn't say more about who. That would have been nice for you to put that out there so that he can get
But
this, apparently he said that there was that there was questions raised because his wife is biracial and Harry is straight ginger. And he's a wildling, I think. And then he was at somebody brought up the question about what is it, Del? They about the child's color.
There were some apparently the question came up. A discussion was brought up about what the color of Archie, what he'll be, what skin tone he'll be.
Just be curious to see where
is he going to be. You think he'll be like
he's nowhere near you? No, if he was you, they would have kicked him out immediately.
They would not.
If he was your skin tone, beat it, Archie, immediately.
Yeah. No, they don't want no dark meat there.
Where he lands on the scale.
But
oh no, like at least he's got a chance against the sun now.
Well, yeah, yeah.
With a redhead dad?
No. Ooh. You gave him a chance. You gave the kid a chance.
You gave the kid a chance and not get sunburned under fluorescent lights.
But Carson Wentz comes up and Jay Wobb says, "Can you think of any other prominent starting quarterbacks that have a ring but didn't lead their team to win it?" But I think people misunderstand Carson Wentz. He went 11-2 as the starter that year. I mean, 11-2, he led the league in QBR, he led the league in touchdown percentage. He was 33-7 that year as touchdowns and interceptions. He was really, really good. And they wouldn't have been there if Carson went those 13, if he didn't play that well in those 13 games. I mean, so if he gets back to that form, if he gets, guess what? That division is the Colts for years.
I like how you brought up Colts football just based on Harry. That's how you got there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz through the Royals.
No, I'm worried about Colts football now.
Well, if he can play.
Yeah, guess what? Under Frank Reich, he could play.
We'll see. He was hella terrible last year.
No, I know.
He was like, I couldn't believe how bad he was.
No, but he, again.
Now, he'll have protection now. They'll protect a little better with the Colts, although their left tackle retired. They got to find a left tackle.
Well,
so that's kind of a big deal. Those usually cost two firsts and a second.
No.
So that's expensive. Don't.
Not usually, just one time.
And 22
million. No, just one time.
It costs two firsts, a second, and 22 million to get a tackle.
No, 66
and that's
million.
That's a tackle with a gas mask doing bong hits.
Yeah, right. No. You're wrong about that. That's one time, not usually.
Isn't that the rate?
Well, no, that's not even close.
I thought that was the rate.
Name another one.
Lamont says, can you virgins talk about UH basketball? UH basketball.
Why don't you call in, Lamont, if you want to talk about UH basketball? We're more than welcome to talk to you about it.
It wasn't a half-court shot, but it was a buzzer beater. It wasn't far from it. It was a 50, basically about a 45-foot bounce pass. It bounced into the player's hands. It was tied up. There was only a couple seconds left, maybe less. And I can't remember who it was who caught it.
Mark Tremont.
Yeah, worked between two defenders, caught it through an off-balance shot up from, I don't know, probably 35 feet away. Got it. And the player stormed the court. Yep. It was a last-second win.
It
was really cool for U of H.
When I first saw it, because there were a bunch of guys that were in their warm-ups and they were wearing black,
yeah,
I thought it was a fight. Because there were a bunch of guys in red and a bunch of guys in black, and they were chasing after each other, and I was like, "Oh my God, huge fight at U of H!" No, that's the game winner. Oh, that's cool. That cost Memphis. That is a nice team. Now you did see, dude. How did they win that game? They shot 36%.
Houston.
Yes.
Yeah.
They shot 36%.
Well, they defended.
They shot 28 from three. Well, this is what's going to kill them, though. That kind of shooting.
And Memphis shot the ball at 47%, so it's not like they shot the ball poorly, but Houston out-rebounded them. They got 15 offensive rebounds. So
15
that
offensive rebounds.
Shots.
They only out-rebounded by eight, but the 15 offensive
extra
rebounds
shots,
were huge.
They shot the ball 60 times compared to Memphis's 49. Though that's where they made up their inability to shoot.
15 boards. You got plus 9 on the offensive boards.
11 more shots is the difference.
Yeah, you had 10 turnovers to their 12 was a problem. Memphis had 8 threes. Houston had 8 threes.
But 10 Houston, turnovers, not bad.
Houston also got to the free throw line and shot 71%, which I'll take in college. But, yeah, but Houston can defend. Like, they can put you in the clamps. I mean, they went under 30, which is kind of normal for their defense in a half. Memphis had, I think, 29 in the second half. But Houston can defend, so they can fade a bad shooting performance, at least for a half. In a tournament, it's going to be hard. If you shoot,
it's a good team, they're going to have a problem.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why they're a classic, you know, Sweet 16 caliber team, yeah, because they're going to be a team that's going to really defend you well. They're more athletic than they were a couple years ago. It's a good team. What are we expecting for Houston, a 3 or a 4?
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen 2 in some places.
Have you still seen 2? I thought that was done.
I think there's 3.
An outside shot they could end up with a 4, but we'll see.
I saw it.
Well, their schedule is just.
That's what I'm saying.
I saw us recently this week. I think Lunardi had him as a 2.
Really? Lunardi had him as a 2?
I thought as recently as this week somewhere they were ranking the seeds, and I think I was looking up at the screen. So I assume it's Lunardi. We always have it on ESPN. They were a 2 seed. Like the lowest 2 seed, but they were still a 2 seed.
Let's see. Let's see what Lunardi has with them. I'm looking at it right now. I hope that. Here's the thing. Just stay out. Stay out of Gonzaga's bracket and Baylor's bracket if you want to know the truth.
How about what Baylor did in the second half? They got to a quick start against Tech. Tech was down 1 at half, and then Baylor smoked them in the second half.
Lunardi has them as a 2 in Michigan's region.
Yeah, Michigan's region. That'll be sweet.
He has a 2. I'm going to look at another one.
He's got him as a 2 in Michigan. With Michigan, I'll take it right now. I'll take that right now. Or Illinois' bracket. Either way. Let's do that.
Andy Katz has let's see where Andy
you
Katz
get punished if you're the 2 in Gonzaga's. He's got Ohio State there. They deserve it. Those people deserve it. 755 ESPN.
Those people.
Ohio State Buckeye fans. That's why I call them those people. That's what I do.
Baylor a 3 seed? No, 1. There's the ones.
No. Baylor's. No, this is a 2 team race. And listen.
Okay, so Andy Katz has Houston.
I get Michigan. I get the love for Michigan, Illinois, and Ohio State. Forget about it.
Andy Katz has Houston as a 3 seed in Michigan's also.
Andy Katz ain't Joe Lunardi.
I think Andy Katz is probably more right. Right now they're number 9, but more importantly, I think from a schedule standpoint, it's going to be hard to stay in the top 8. Don't you think? Based on the schedule?
Well, now if they roll through the tournament, then
it's a little fluid.
Yeah.
I think it's 2 or 3. Yeah. I think it's 2 or 3.
If they lose right away in their tournament.
Well, if they lose right away, it's a 4. I think they'll drop to a 4, depending on what happens.
We'll see. All right, time to talk about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. I love Chastain Ford. I love what the people over there do. You're going to be joining the family, and the first thing that they're going to care about is what can you afford? That's it. We're not going to try to sell you something where we make more money, where we gouge you with price, where we add on stuff just so we can make more money. We want you. Here's the deal. Is Chastain has more repeat and referral business than they have people walking in because everybody loves what Chastain Ford does for them. Well, I will recommend Chastain Ford to everyone because I love what they did for me. And you're going to and they didn't do anything for me, anything special. What they did was what they do for everybody. They're going to get you at the lowest price you could possibly get. Ford Truck Month right now, the 2021 Ford Truck, the F-150, is the best truck I've ever been in. And I got a chance to drive it for a weekend. It was unbelievable, people. And all of you guys out there that need work vans, the transit vans, they will customize it for you. It'll be perfect. I'm telling you, you will love Chastain Ford. You can buy it online. You can do everything online. You never have to show up at the dealership. Go to ChastainFord.com or it's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. Chastain Ford. Join the Chastain family.
ESPN 97.5.